The second Bible reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 18 to chapter 4, verse 5, and you can find it on page 1146 in the Church Bible. Do not deceive yourselves. If any of you think you are wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So then, no more boasting about human leaders. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world, or life or death, or the present or the future, all are yours. And you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. This then is how you ought to regard us. As servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Now, if you turn to that page in the Bible, hang on to it, because we're going to have a look at it in a bit. And as we continue our series in 1 Corinthians. But first we're going to sing this hymn just to help us prepare, as we have been, of course, as we turn to the Word of God. Prepare our hearts, O God, help us to receive. So please stand to sing. Just reflect for a moment what we've just been singing. Open up our ears to hear. Lead us in your truth. Come, speak to us today. You have the words of eternal life. Father, we echo those words from that hymn and pray for your Holy Spirit now to teach us, to open us up to your love and your grace, to open us up to how you would have us follow you day by day. Open us up to love you more dearly, to follow you more nearly, and to serve others as we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Now, one of the things you hear from our young people, not only as they move towards the end of a term, but almost all throughout the academic year, I must revise. Isn't that right? Got to revise. And sometimes, in the sort of summer months, you know, we have things on for them and they don't come. Where are they? They're revising. And I thought it might be a good idea for us just to have a moment or two to revise where we are up to in 1 Corinthians. I hope you're continuing with it. It's not the easiest of epistles. David Wilson and I was talking about it last Sunday. He was preaching last Sunday. He's preaching next Sunday. And we've let him off this Sunday. I don't know what he's doing. But anyway, here we are. I know where he is. Is it Melton Mowbray? Anyway, here we are. So would you turn, if you've got a Bible, and if you'd like to, would you turn to the beginning of 1 Corinthians, page 1144, and we will have just a little reminder of what Paul is trying to do. Why is he launching into this hard stuff? And it is hard stuff. It's a kind of hard-hitting epistle. The Corinthian church needed it, and I think in our churches today, in our church, in the fellowship of Christ throughout the world, not just Rothley, we need it. And so I want you just to look at chapter 2 and verses 1 to 5. Now, if you haven't got access to a Bible, please don't worry. If you don't want to turn to it, that's okay. But what I would like those of us who have got a Bible in front of us to read verses 1 to 5 with me. There might be just one or two who's willing. Don't leave me on my own, please. I get nervous. Okay, so it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2 at the very beginning. This is Paul, remember, writing. Here we go. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Thank you. So we're going back to that because that helps us to see where Paul has got to in the reading that Ross gave to us a moment or two ago. Because what Paul is saying there is, now look guys, what I'm bringing to you, you don't like it very much and you've gone to one side a bit, but listen, it's not anything to do with me. I'm not preaching me. I'm preaching Jesus. That's really putting it very simply what he's saying there. And the way I'm seeking to do it is I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. So my manner, the way in which I'm coming to you, what I want you to believe is about him. Don't worry about me. If you forget my name, fair enough. I forget people's names ever so easily. You might hold it against me, I don't know. Never mind about that. Paul is saying, if you forget my name, don't bother. It's Jesus. That's really what those few verses, important they are, is saying. So, on why I've come to you is not to make a name for myself, not to get any credentials at all, not to be thought, well, I've come to you because I want you to engage with Jesus. And that is what it's about. So we move on because we're wanting to get, Paul is wanting to get Jesus in focus. I had the privilege of being with our Catalyst group last Sunday night. They met round at one of the Pilbeam's homes. I've forgotten which one, but anyway, one of them. It was Jerry. And we were talking about focus. You know, what is our focus? Focus is hugely important. If you're bird watching, it's hugely important. If you've not got the right glasses on and they've given you the wrong focus, that's very annoying. Focus is right. We twiddle the knobs or we move the cursor or whatever these days. So focus is important. And Paul is saying, come on, I want you to get into focus. And I want you to focus on Jesus Christ. We use a kind of, it's funny how in phrases get popular, don't they? The popular phrase I've picked up recently is that, well, I'm having some me time. Me time. I prefer tea time to me time, to be honest, but never mind. I know what they mean. But listen, Paul is saying, come on, what you need is Jesus time. That's what you need, is Jesus time. And this is what we're having this morning. And praise God that we have the opportunity to do it. And so he's reminding himself. And so we need now, if you will, please, to turn over to the reading that Ross gave for us at the end of chapter 3 and on into chapter 4. So we know why Paul is laboring the point, don't we? We know why he's laboring the point. So Paul then goes on to say, it's important how you think of us as your teachers and your leaders. It's important how you think of us. Because you get the thing wrong. You get too much emphasis on us. And what Paul is saying in verses 18 to 20, as I see it, to put it in very down-to-earth language, he says, there's too much clever stuff about and not enough seeking God. Now, that's quite tough in our day and age, because we live in a wonderful era, do we not? In a wonderful century. And the explorations and the discoveries, we don't negate them, we don't rubbish them. That's really important, what is going on. Every time there's something new, whether it's in health or space exploration or transport, I mean, you know, I just marvel at these people that can get their heads around it. I mean, I listen to what they say, but I don't understand a bit. But we've got to get it in the right proportion, and that was what Paul was saying. It's not the clever stuff that you need to pay attention to. It's not me. It's paying attention to him. And this is why the Word of God, the Bible, our daily Bible readings, our sharing that in the home groups or whatever group you're in, or Sunday mornings, that's why it's so important. We could have a service here just singing the hymns. That would be quite helpful. Lovely hymns, we've had them this morning. But we need to engage with the Word of God, however badly we people who get up front try and do it. But at least I hope it nudges you and say, well, I don't agree with what she said this morning. I'll have a look at it myself. That's the answer. I'll have a look at it myself. So you can't let yourself off the hook. So this is what Paul is saying there. And, you know, I don't know whether when Ross was reading it, when you were reading it yourself, you almost sort of pick up a kind of note of exasperation in Paul's writing. Let's go back a minute to verse 16. Don't you know? I can almost hear that in his voice. I bet some of you have had this in your lectures and you, don't you know? And you tremble. Well, you don't really. You turn the page. Anyway, Paul was saying, don't you know? In verse 18, do not deceive yourself. Don't be deluded. Don't you know? And don't you know, it's as though Paul is saying, you know, to think of yourselves, you're so clever. To think of your leaders as so clever. Don't you know that you need to look at Christ? Don't you know? Now, for them, of course, they had the Old Testament as their scriptures. That's good. The Old Testament's hugely important. But we've not only got Old Testament, but New Testament, would you believe? And you may say, well, that's 66 books gone too far. Not on your life. Really important. And he goes on to say, but and it's God who knows. He is all wisdom. So you need to latch into God. It reminded me of Psalm 139. I bet a lot of people here will say, oh yeah, it's my favorite psalm. Or yeah, I know what you're on about. Psalm 139. Excuse me, 139. Just got one verse, verse 2. The psalmist says, you perceive my thoughts from afar. That's scary. Or could be. I remember a lot of years ago, my first parish, we were doing a Bible study with a group of girls, actually, as it happened, and I wasn't leading it, but somebody else was. And we were looking at Psalm 139, and there was a lassie in that group. She was about 13 or 14, and we talked about this. You perceive my thoughts long before, and the other verses that go on. And she suddenly got up, and she fled from the room. I'll never forget it. And I wasn't actually leading it, somebody else was, so I went after her and I said, what's the trouble? And she couldn't tell me, but it so frightened her that God knows your thoughts. And I was able to point her to Jesus and to his love for her and his willingness to forgive. And okay, I've got rotten thoughts, well, now and again. But I have, you know, but we're imperfect in that way. We're sinful people. Let's admit it. Why are we here? We're here to praise God. We're here to hear his word. We're here because we're sinful people. You ever thought of it like that? That we are. What a good thing we can come. What a good thing we can come. Paul goes on to talk about this wisdom, this worldly wisdom, where people think, you know, they know everything and they've got it all right. And so it happens today. They just rubbish anything to do with scripture, with God, with Christianity, and so on and so forth. You get it all the time. I remember when I was at college, we had a lovely local vicar. He was quite elderly, or at least he appeared to me to be quite elderly then, oh dear. And he came to teach us church history. And he was quite a character, really. And it didn't matter which bit of church history we were talking about. It didn't matter which bit of church history we were talking about. He would quote, I've got it here, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21. The world by wisdom know not God. There you go. The world by wisdom know not God. It's not our clever stuff that causes us to know God. It is God's mercy and grace and His Holy Spirit through His Word, through Jesus, that we know Him, and then we're wise in the eyes of God. Get it right. Get it right. Think about it. Get it right. That's roughly verses 18 to 20. And then in 21, he goes on and he's really coming to his point again that we looked at the beginning of chapter 2. He says, stop fawning over the leaders. Stop fawning over them. Do you know what I mean by that? Because you know what I mean by that. But hold Christ higher. And the Corinthian church was in a bit of a mess. I mean, they'd got those who said, I wouldn't go to that fellowship, I wouldn't go to that crowd, because they've got Peter leading them. I go to Apollos. That's roughly how it went. And Paul was saying, dear, oh dear, oh dear. I sometimes wonder what Paul would think if he walked through our nation today, our church today, the church, the worshipping people. I don't know. Anyway, there you are. So in verse 21, you see, he says, so then. It's that little note of exasperation again. So then, he says. Get it straight in your heart and in your attitudes. Stop bragging about yourselves. Stop bragging about your leaders. Corinthians were those sort of people. They were right braggers. And that's important for us to take this right attitude. And so this is Paul moving on. And then we get to that amazing verse at the end of chapter 3. Whether you're Paul, Apollos, Cephas, whatever, you all are yours and you are Christ and Christ is God's. It's almost as though he's run out of descriptive phrases. So he just comes with this great list. And it so reminded me of what Paul said at the end of chapter 8 in Romans. Do you remember that? I don't think it's the end, actually. It comes somewhere in chapter 8 anyway. Where he talks about us being more than conquerors. And talks about, it doesn't matter about life, nor death, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other creature. But if we have Christ, if we trust Him, if we believe in Him, that's it. Life still goes on. Life is still going to be tough. We've still got to face the difficulties and the challenges. Oh yeah, it doesn't make it all a bed of roses all of a sudden. But you've got your focus right. You've got your focus right. And then Paul goes on in chapter 4 a bit more about his own ministry. And so he says, this then is how you ought to regard us. I've cleared a lot of rubbish away, I hope. So this is how you regard us. And what does he say? I'm the headmaster. I'm the principal. I'm the prime minister. I'm a servant. A servant. It's good, isn't it? What did Jesus say when he was here on earth? I am among you as one who serves. Jesus, I am among you as one who serves. And you know, it's an attitude that each one of us needs. It isn't that we don't need leaders. Of course we need leaders. Of course we do. We need managers. We need people who, you know, got it sorted and all that kind of thing. Of course we do, but we've got to keep our focus right. And when they go wrong, then we need to know where we're going. It's got to be lived out in our world today. So having gone through the negative stuff in chapters 2 and 3, Paul moves to the positive stuff in chapter 4. So we're onto something really positive. It's a bit like a plug, isn't it? You need a negative and a positive in it to make it work. So here we are with the positives. I am among you as one who serves, Jesus says. And Paul says, this is how you ought to regard us, servants. And he goes on to say, and as those entrusted with the mysteries of God. We're not just, you know, knocking around and doing a bit here and there. We're entrusted with the mysteries of God. What's the mysteries of God? The gospel. The Holy Spirit. The mysteries of God. And for those of us who are committed to Jesus Christ through faith in him, you're a servant, and I am. And you and I together, we're entrusted with the mysteries, the valuable things, the mysteries, the wonders, the gospel, and the Holy Spirit. Whew. And so that calls for faithfulness, doesn't it? Comes here, doesn't it? We're entrusted. That you're required to, verse 2, now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. Faithful, faithfulness, responsibility, trustworthiness. And if we feel that being a servant and a steward is in any way precious, a privilege, then it goes without saying there's responsibility. Privilege always brings responsibility. Doesn't matter what the privilege is, however little it is. Where's Fred? Yes, he's there. Privilege of a second grandson, second grandchild, and it's a boy. Responsibility. Don't spoil him. Responsibility. And so Paul is saying, I'm Christ's servant, and therefore I'm your servant, what's more. So don't keep putting me up on a pedestal. David Wilson, last Sunday morning, ended with a very, very forceful little illustration. Because he said, I'm going to quote him. Tell him I quoted him. And tell him right, because otherwise he'll say she said it wrong. Anyway, what he said was, he said, in those days, as in our days, people are put up on pedestals. And David said, there is only one person on the pedestal, and that is Jesus, that we need to be bothered about. And that's right. That's right. I remembered it. Remembered his sermon. And Paul goes on to talk about being judged. Judged? I thought we were free. I thought we were forgiven. Well, we are. But we will be judged. Not for our eternal life, because that is sorted out in the cross for us. But we will be judged. We have a righteous judge. We're going to sing about it in a bit. Because it's scriptural, it's biblical. And Paul says here, you don't have to judge me because I've got a judge in God himself. It's sort of good for us, isn't it? I mean, think about that parable that we read. It's a tough parable. But it was a parable where the judgment was just and right. And the wonderful thing is, we've got a God that we can trust to do it right. And that is worth such a lot. So, we're servants, we're stewards. That's what the entrusting with the mysteries means. And so, how do we cope with that? If he's going to judge us, what's he looking for in us? He's looking for us to please him, to please our Saviour. He's looking for us to honour God. I was taking a funeral. It was nothing to do with Rothley, nothing to do with Rothley at all. It was in a totally different church. And I had to go and meet the family. I didn't know very well. I sort of roughly knew. And it was a tough time getting the service sorted out, I tell you. Because they didn't want this, and they didn't want that, and they didn't want the other, and they didn't want a Bible reading. And you know, they'd asked a Christian minister to do it for them. So, in the end, well, not in the end, actually, it was about halfway through, I suppose, I said, now look, let me just help you to see my place in this, if you don't mind. I said, yeah, it's fine. So I said, I have three things to do in a funeral. I said, I want to honour the person who is there that we are farewelling, and you are grieving, and I understand that. I've had close people die. You know, I tried to help them understand that. I want to honour that person. I said, I want to honour you because you're grieving. It's a tough time. You're going to say farewell. It's curtains in more ways than one. More ways than one. I said, but I want to honour God. And not only is it my job, but I want to honour God. That's why I'm here. And wonderfully, it sorted it in their attitude. Honour God. Point to Christ. That's what he's looking for. He is looking for in us to please our Saviour, to honour God, to point to Christ, and to appeal and share with others the wonder of this gospel, these mysteries that have been entrusted to us. It's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. As some of you know, I'm just going through this difficult patch with my family, and one or two have a kind of embryonic Christian faith and so on, and I was able to pray with my nephew and so on, but it's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. It's not. In fact, it's harder with your family, isn't it? Isn't it? But we're servants of Jesus Christ, and we're stewards of his mysteries. What a wonderful thing that is. When Paul was on one of his missions, no, he was on his way to Rome, actually. You remember this story from Acts. He got caught in a terrible storm, sort of, you know, Japan or whatever it is these days. But he was in the middle of the Med, got caught in a terrible storm. They were tipping everything out, trying to save the ship, felt they weren't going to save the ship, felt they were all going to drown. Paul had confidence in God, and he said to the rest of them, he said, I want to tell you who I am. I want to tell you whose I am and whom I serve. Whose I am and whom I serve. Let's pray. A moment of quiet reflection. To think of the wonder of this generous God, the wonder of this loving Saviour, the wonder of this amazing Holy Spirit, this great Trinitarian God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and his grace and mercy shown to us. Amen.